Please rise. The portion of Holy Scripture that we turn our attention to today is recorded for us in Ezekiel chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. He said to me, "Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you." As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. He said, "Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says.' And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them or their words. Do not be afraid, though briars and thorns are all around you, and you live among scorpions. Do not be afraid of what they say or terrified by them, though they are a rebellious house. You must speak my words to them, whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house." This is the word of our God. Please be seated. No, not yet. That's coming. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, what is ministry? Ministry is a word that we use quite freely here around church, but when was the last time you stopped and actually asked yourself the question, what does the word ministry mean? The word ministry comes from the Latin word ministerium, which refers to actions of a servant. It won't surprise you to hear that the word minister comes from the Latin word minister, which very specifically refers to a servant. Ministry involves serving others. Serving others with love, with compassion, and with empathy. Helping someone with their physical needs is very often referred to as compassion ministry. People such as doctors and nurses and therapists are involved in compassion ministry because they strive to minister to the sick and to the injured. Striving to help someone with their spiritual needs is commonly known as gospel ministry. People such as pastors and teachers and counselors are involved in gospel ministry because they are striving to minister to a person's soul. Now, one might think that if you are striving to minister to someone, if you are striving to help them out of love and compassion and empathy, that they would respond positively, such as with glee and with gratitude. Sometimes that is indeed true, but not always. For example, if you strive to help someone who is struggling to pay their bills, they might be offended because they think that you think that they are not able to take care of themselves and or their family. And if you are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone, they may resent the message that they are a sinner who needs a Savior. Even though you are trying to minister to their greatest need, even though you are striving to serve them out of love and compassion, they might react to your message with rejection and resentment. Today, we are beginning a new sermon series that is designed to focus our attention on the subject of ministry. To be more specific, this sermon series is designed to focus our attention on what it means to have a meaningful ministry. Our text for today gives us a beautiful example of what makes a ministry meaningful. Using the ministry of the prophet Ezekiel, God the Holy Spirit reminds us that a meaningful ministry is indeed met not always with glee and gratitude, but sometimes with rejection and resentment. Ezekiel had been taken as an exile to the land of Babylon. About 5 years into his captivity, the sovereign Lord God Almighty appeared to Ezekiel. Ezekiel describes that astonishing revelation in the first chapter of his letter. Ezekiel chapter 1 then ends with these words. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. When I saw it, I fell face down on the ground, and I heard the voice of the one speaking. These words are the backdrop to the opening verses of our text for today. Ezekiel continues in chapter 2. He said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. As he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. As a mortal, sinful human being, when Ezekiel realized that he was now in the presence of the Almighty Sovereign Lord God himself, he fell face first to the ground in fear. What Ezekiel did not yet realize was that God's purpose for appearing to him was not to condemn him, but to call him. God was calling Ezekiel to be his prophet to his people. God was calling Ezekiel to minister, to serve to the people of God who were in exile in Babylon. And note very closely, my friends, that the Lord God not only called Ezekiel to this ministry, but he also equipped Ezekiel for this ministry. We see and hear God equipping Ezekiel for his ministry when we're told, as he spoke, the Spirit came into me and raised me to my feet, and I heard him speaking to me. By himself and on his own, Ezekiel was not qualified to minister to God's people. By himself and on his own, Ezekiel was not qualified to be God's prophet to God's people. But once the Holy Spirit entered into him, once the Holy Spirit gave Ezekiel the ability to hear the Sovereign Lord God himself speaking directly to him, now Ezekiel was ready to minister to God's people. Now Ezekiel was qualified to serve as God's prophet, that is, someone who proclaims God's word to God's people. That same reality holds true right down to this very day, my friends, as we will hear in more detail in next Sunday's sermon. No one, no prophet, no pastor, no parishioner, no teacher, no mortal sinful human being has the right and the ability to stand in God's presence, much less minister to God's people. But once the Holy Spirit enters into that person, now they are able to stand in God's presence and listen to the Sovereign Lord himself speaking to them through his holy word. Now they are qualified to serve God's people by faithfully sharing God's word with them. After calling Ezekiel into ministry, the Lord then reveals to Ezekiel the people to whom he is sent, the people who he is to serve. The description that God gives of his people is powerful, and it's a description that could cause any prophet or any pastor to give pause in his work. Look at verses 3 to 5 of our text. We're told, he said, Son of man, I am sending you to the Israelites, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have been in revolt against me to this very day. The people to whom I am sending you are obstinate and stubborn. Say to them, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Wouldn't you agree that God's description of God's people is indeed powerful, my friends? God wanted Ezekiel to understand that his ministry was not going to be an easy one. God wanted Ezekiel to understand that the Sovereign Lord himself was sending him to serve, to minister to people who were rebellious. They were rebelling against the sovereign Lord God himself. They were an obstinate people, a hard-headed people. They refused to listen to what God said was good for them. They were a stubborn people, a strong-willed people. They demanded to do what they wanted to do instead of what God wanted them to do. Thankfully, that powerful description does not apply to us, right? Thankfully, we never rebel against the sovereign Lord God himself, right? Thankfully, we are never obstinate and hard-hearted. We never think that what we think and what we believe is right. And while we won't actually say that what God reveals to us in his word is wrong, it is indeed outdated and old-fashioned and out of step with our modern-day society, right? Thankfully, we are never stubborn. We are never strong-willed. We always listen to what God says to us in his word, and we always do exactly what the sovereign Lord God himself wants us to do, right? Well, that might be what we would like to think about ourselves. And while that might be what we want others to think about ourselves, the sovereign Lord God not only knows the truth, but when necessary, the sovereign Lord God sends people in our lives to minister to us, to serve us, by faithfully reminding us, this is what the sovereign Lord says. The servant that God sends into our life might be a pastor. The servant that God sends into our life might be a Sunday school teacher. The servant that God sends into our life might be a fellow Christian. At the same time, we might be the person that God sends into someone else's life to serve them, to minister to them, by faithfully saying to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Either way, we need to make sure that we listen to the servants that God sends into our life. And if we are the servant that God sends into someone else's life, we need to make sure that we always say what God wants us to say, to remember that we are a minister, a servant of the sovereign Lord God himself. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Whether it was the prophet Ezekiel or me, or you. This is what makes our ministry meaningful. People don't really need to hear our opinion. People don't really need to hear our interpretation of what is right and what is wrong, what is acceptable and what is unacceptable. No, my friends. People need to hear what the sovereign Lord says. This means that our ministry is meaningful when we faithfully proclaim the powerful message of God's holy law. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. This means that our ministry is meaningful when we faithfully proclaim the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And yet, sometimes we still wonder, don't we? We wonder, why? Why did God send Ezekiel as a minister to serve people who were rebellious and obstinate and stubborn? Why does God send us out to minister to people who might laugh at us or ridicule us or reject us? Grace? Love? Mercy? Take your pick. Any one of those words accurately describes why God sent Ezekiel to minister to his fellow Israelites in exile. Any one of those words accurately describes why God sends us out to minister, to serve the people of this world. And what we always need to remember, my friends, is what God revealed to Ezekiel so many years ago. And whether they listen or fail to listen, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. Those powerful words take all the pressure off of our shoulders as we strive to minister to others. Just as Ezekiel was not responsible for how the people reacted to his message, neither are we. Just as Ezekiel was not responsible for changing anyone's heart, neither are we. Just as Ezekiel was responsible for faithfully proclaiming to others, "This is what the sovereign Lord says," so are we. When we stop to realize that God has called us to faithfully proclaim his powerful words to others, then we can prayerfully leave the results of that proclamation into the hands of the sovereign Lord himself. And what holds true for us as individuals also holds true for us as a congregation. While we would all agree that we need to make improvements to the outreach ministry of our congregation, we always need to strive to make sure that all of our ministries are focused on "This is what the Lord says." We do not and we cannot change anything that God has revealed to us in his word simply because we want to increase our attendance. We do not and we cannot think that, well, if only we do this, or if only we do that, then we might have a positive impact on the results of what we are striving to do. But we can and we do strive to make sure that our ministry is meaningful to him by faithfully proclaiming the word that he has given to us. If ever, whenever, we want to see the perfect example of a meaningful ministry, all we have to do is go back to our gospel lesson for today, the account of Jesus preaching in the synagogue of his hometown of Nazareth is both well known and very easy for us to remember. All of us will automatically agree that Jesus' ministry was indeed a perfect ministry, wasn't it? As the true Son of the one and only living God, and as the long-awaited promised Messiah, Jesus faithfully served the people of his hometown by faithfully proclaiming to them the truth of God's holy, inspired word. And what was the reaction that Jesus received? Mark told us, the people took offense at him. Was Jesus' ministry a meaningful ministry, even though it was met with rejection and resentment, and not glee and gratitude? It most certainly was. My prayer then this morning is that we will always keep Jesus' meaningful ministry clearly before our eyes as we strive to carry out our ministry, not only our personal individual ministries, but our congregational ministry. When our ministry is focused on faithfully proclaiming, "This is what the sovereign Lord says," then no matter what kind of reception, no matter what kind of reaction we receive, our ministry will indeed be a meaningful ministry to him. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.